Oh, my hands are fishy. Okay. Oh,
that one too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Volunteer appreciation.
Oh, this is what we missed.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to go on that day.
Are we ready?
We didn't want to spend the money on a stamp.
Yeah, you should.
I get wrinkled.
I'd like to call to order the June 20th edition of the Mill Creek Planning Commission meeting. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Stan Eisner.
Present.
Vice Chair Matthew Nolan.
Here.
Commissioner April Berg.
Present.
Commissioner Brian Hyatt. Commissioner Daniel Mills.
Here.
Commissioner Nicholas Marin. Commissioner Dennis Teschlog.
Here.
I'd like to welcome the new members of the commission to our happy family, and we look forward to your participation. Next order of business is the approval of the minutes. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of April 18th, 2019 of the Planning Commission.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the April 18th meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The agenda this evening is primarily a work session to examine some zoning that is under review, and I think we'll start with the staff outlining the issues and we'll go on from there.
Thank you, Chair Eisner, members of the commission. For the record, I'm Tom Rogers, I'm the planning manager, and you notice the packet was kind of light this time. There's not a whole lot of background information. We thought it would be more useful just sort of walk you through kind of the issue. The intent is to have kind of a casual conversation about it. Staff has not put a ton of research or work into this yet. It's more of an idea to sort of bounce a couple ideas off you, get your impression of that, and sort of taking into account what your comments are, then we either go forward or whatever we would do following this discussion sort of dictate kind of where staff goes from there and whether or not things come back to the commission or not. So so we thought we'd just have a conversation. So I've got a fairly brief presentation sort of outline what the issues are as we see them, at least. And then there's three kind of prompting kind of questions that come up on the last slide, and you guys can sort of use those to sort of guide your discussion if you'd like. Or just sort of, it's more of a freewheeling. So there's no motion or no action expected really formally. It's more of a consensus, nods, we'll take your comments unless you feel really strongly about something and want to make a motion. But we'll see how what we do at the end. As far as background, the city has several zones, and there'll be a map later to sort of show what kind of zones we have in the city. But we have most of the land that's left in the city is zoned business park. It has some environmental challenges, and there's reasons it's kind of the last ones that are left or, you know, haven't been developed yet. But some of them have sort of at the counter or talking to us on the phone and says, you know, well, I'd be able to develop the property quicker if we were able to put restaurants in there. We'd like to right now I'll go through that. There's some restrictions on what the uses are. Business park allows one kind of uses. Our community business zone district allows other kind of uses, and sort of what would be marketable now or developable quicker isn't really allowed in the business park zone district at this time. One thing that's sort of a side note, that's sort of a background thing going on now, is that the city is embarking on a study of some business park and commercial zone properties in the Mill Creek Boulevard subarea. So that is actively going on, and we are doing a more thorough analysis of that and doing a market study, and sort of so that is moving forward, but that's kind of sort of in the background, so you can take that as far as context of what we're talking about here. So as I mentioned, most of the property that's left, if you look in the, I guess I should have put the maps on the other side, but the map with the green on the right-hand side, the dark colors are various properties in the city that are either under or undeveloped. So you can see that we're mostly built out The city is a fairly new city. Most of development is relatively young. It's in pretty good shape. It's not going to redevelop too quickly. But the rest of the stuff that's in the dark is along, along 9th Avenue here and along the highway. And those are the properties of Zone Business Park. And you'll see in the zone here, the red circle here shows that where these are, and they're that gray color. So that's the gray color. The red color is the commercial zone district. We'll be talking a little bit about that because that's sort of the comparison between the two, the policies and what uses are allowed. So that's the area we're kind of talking about, although any changes we make, unless we come up with a totally different zone, would apply citywide. So it would apply in the other business park zone up here as well, potentially through a redevelopment. Again, we're looking at that scenario right now with that other study we're working on now with Milford Boulevard sub-area plan. So, actually, we are undertaking, so that's in there. Okay, and just for your background here is the, let me move the line here. This is the red line here sort of is the area that's under consideration right now, and we'll talk about that later in the meeting. So, as far as existing conditions, what I thought I would do, or what staff came up the idea, was that we would take a look at the comprehensive plan, what the existing policies, what the rationale for those zones are, of CUNY business, where restaurants currently are allowed, and the business park zone, and then compare sort of the comp plan, what they say should be, you know, what the idea, what we're trying to accomplish in these areas, and then look at the zone districts themselves, and so see the comparison of those, and then go through the questions for the discussion. So, comprehensive plan, we'll do that one first. So I brought my actual whole comp plan with me, but we've taken liberty to sort of pull out the relevant parts to make the review a little more organized. And so under the community business, which are the ones in the map that were red, those are like where Safeway used to be, Albertsons is, where Sprouts is, those are the community business zone districts. Well, the rationale is to provide appropriate land uses to provide economic stability to the city through jobs and tax base, provide a appropriate amount of commercial land, taking advantage of safe and efficient transportation network, transportation facilities, and probably the main thing is to provide a broad range of goods and services compatible with the existing or the surrounding land uses. So that is talking more about broad range of goods and services, sort of a more intense kind of a flavor there, if you will. And if you look at what the rationale is for the business park zone district, it's for manufacturing, assembly, distribution. It also allows for some health and services and facilities, wholesale office activities, providing jobs and adding to the tax base. And then if you go to the third paragraph, it talks to provide an appropriate supply of land for light industrial and office uses that may depend upon close proximity, yada, yada, and the labor supply. It does allow some other things through a conditional use permit. But I think that the flavor here is that this is talking more about providing jobs, more of a higher sort of a living wage type of a job, not service jobs per se, more of an office flavor, manufacturing sort of the industrial, light industrial. So that's kind of what comprehensive plan was envisioning when we decided what zones we're going to apply to the properties. If you look at the commercial, the policies that are in our land use element, there's a policy called policy 2.03, and this isn't directly related to either of the zones. It's more of a general sort of something that the city is working toward, and that's to encourage clustered retail commercial development rather than strip commercial development. And I think what the town center sort of evolved into, why that came, is we didn't want to do more strip centers. We wanted more pedestrian friendly, where you park and then you walk around, not the highway commercial you see, which was here before, which is more of like your Safeway. And so the idea was to have less of more of that, because certainly town center took 10 years to get off the ground. While we had people saying, oh, you'll never get a town center if you just let us put our grocery store in and apartments, then develop quicker. And so this was a policy that we used a lot as far as when we developed the town center. and the East Gateway as well. Policy 2.09, this is the policy that led to the Sudbury plan that we're working on now, and it talks about redevelopment of the various areas in the business park zone. And because of this policy, we talked about that in the comp plan back in 2015. If, for those of you who were here, we talked about this. This is really the only real opportunity, except for the vacant land, is that between Town Center and 164th is kind of a, it's a little funky compared to the rest of the city. It was developed in the early 80s, and it's not very efficient use of land. And we've got Swift coming through. We've got bus rapid transit. So we should take a look at that. So that's what that policy is. 2.09, and that's sort of what's led to our sub-area plan that we're working on sort of through a different process. Going to the actual zone districts, in the community business zone district, it talks about the purpose. And the purpose is to implement community business, sort of the rationale that was in the comp plan, by locating commercial businesses and high-density residential uses near activity areas with pedestrian access, and along the major roads, and the uses are intended, again, to provide a broad range of goods and services to the surrounding community. And that's very consistent with what the rationale was in the comp plan. And you can look at the list of uses in the in our community business zone. If you go through here, we got retail wholesale uses, offices such as like insurance, doctors, we got personal services, offices are allowed in there as well, just general office. We allow health care. Probably the key one here is F, which is restaurants and taverns, which is one of the most intense land uses. You get a real kind of a crush during the times, you know, the evening times and the lunch times. Hotels, banks. So sort of, when you think about a typical shopping center, that's what the community business zone district is, and that's what it allows. If you go and compare that against the Business Park Zone District, its purpose is to implement that comprehensive plan designation, and it's to provide suitable areas of commercial development where the primary land uses are manufacturing, product assembly, wholesale sales, and professional and business office development. And it gives you some other things you can also have, but also has that last sentence, this district is not intended for development of retail sales and services. However, limited sales and services may be allowed to serve the needs of the business park tenants and users. So I think that the city has been on really firm ground of telling them that they can't have a restaurant there, basically based on what the comp plan has told us as far as the direction we're supposed to do, as well as the uses. And again, these are the BP zone uses. You can see wholesale sales, warehousing, offices, manufacturing, and the one that's boxed out here in the red says retail sales and services primarily intended to serve the BP zone uses. And it does allow restaurants, but it limits it to 15% of the building that it's in, with a max also of 3,000 square feet. And I think what they're thinking there is back in the days of the business parks or the campus, you especially in a bigger scale, you think of Canyon Park. You know, you have like a little deli or something, and when the whistle blows, or I guess in some cases the food wagon comes up, but you know, the whistle blows and everybody kind of walks out and they go over to the deli and they buy their sandwich and they have a half hour to eat lunch, and then it's kind of done, or you can walk over anytime and get a Coke or something. You know, it's intended to be more for the users that are actually in that building or in the complex that's right next door. It's not meant to be a destination to bring people in from outside. Just an idea of different restaurants in the city as far as sort of the major ones that are sort of more your destination kind of restaurants. Christy did some research, and these, I guess, Boston Pizza, I guess we should put a question mark there because I don't know who's going to be there next, but the space is likely to become a restaurant. But it's about 6,300 square feet, China City about 5,400 square feet, La Palmera 6,600 square feet, Sawmill just over 3,000. So that one, Sawmill Cafe, that size is kind of would be permitted in a business park zone district. But the other ones above certainly are not permissible the way the code's written today. So What we'd like to talk about is we've heard from people that own property that have wanted to develop the property. They've told us that, gosh, couldn't you change the code to allow a restaurant to go in, a standalone restaurant or something that's bigger, something above the 15% or the 3,000 max? And so I can answer the first one pretty well, but I think that you guys should sort of talk about a little bit about whether something like that, if we just were to change the code itself without changing the comp plan, was that consistent with sort of the vision that's in the comp plan? And then stepping beyond that, thinking about what's on 9th Avenue, what's along the highway, do you think it would be appropriate use in that district? Do you think it's more akin to a strip commercial, sort of inconsistent with what our comp plan sort of gives us direction to? And then sort of a bigger picture, and I put number three there, is sort of getting at the idea, well, I guess it's sort of tied to two as well, is allowing more intense uses down the highway or along 9th Avenue, sort of be decentralizing some of these more intense uses. And is that something that's desirable, or is that a good thing or bad thing? And especially in the context of what we're looking at potentially changing right downtown here with the sub-area plan we're doing. So that's a lot of me talking. And what I hope to do is kind of sort of turn it over and let you guys either sort of have a discussion sort of covering these sort of things, and at the end come to a consensus on kind of where we go from here.
Tom, before we get too far afield, could you talk a little bit about the topography on those properties and the fact and to the degree that they're impacted by water course, and how that those properties and their size and usability lend themselves to uses, particularly related to parking, off-street parking. They okay. seem to be really
okay. So it's a two-part question there. Business park use, the office and warehousing, mini storage require less parking than a retail or a restaurant use. So when you look at a commercial site, much more is dedicated to parking areas. So the site that you have, if it's going to be feasible, it needs to have a little bit of a larger size. We haven't done a site-by-site analysis, but I could say in general, along the highway here, there's sort of flat next to the highway. So if you're going southbound on 527 and you get past, say, the mini storage and the brick medical building that's there, there's sort of a level plateau right there, and then it drops off fairly quickly, and then the wetlands actually seep out of the hills, and then it goes down to the Nickel Creek area and then to 9th Avenue. So, and then 9th Avenue, which is the other properties that are potentially in the zone district, are kind of already down in there. And so there's a lot of wetlands and a lot of limitations as far as what's developable. We've done two projects. We did the learnings, the children, what's it called? The learning experience, and that was one of the more developable pieces that were available. That's at the very south end of town. It's under construction right now. There was a cube self-storage that went in, and so I'd say, how much of the site's about an acre and a half or so?
For a cube?
That was actually developable?
Just over two.
Just over two of the five-plus acre lots, so that there's about two acres there. We're looking at a couple of others that are for sale right now. We've had a lot of interest from realtors and the property owner trying to sell the property. And they're a little bit more encumbered. And so what would happen is anything that happens there would require a reasonable use variance. Our code can't take away all reasonable economic use. So there's a little bit less than that on those sites. That's the Borth property, right? And so we've had some interest on those. But they are... These properties are left for a reason, that there's some challenges that are there. One of the other challenges that used to be on these properties was the sewer. But over the last 5 years or so, the sewer has come up from 180th and sort of marched its way to the north. And so the sewer isn't quite as big of an issue now. It is reasonably close now. It used to be a really long run. And so these properties, not only did they have the environmental constraints, but they used to be really expensive to get sewer to them. Now that's not quite as much of an issue.
Can I ask, you mentioned on the restaurants, you know, some of the larger ones, but in town center, we've got, you know, Azul's, Brooklyn Brothers, Blazing Onion, all successful restaurants. I'm assuming they're under the 3,000 square foot then, if you were looking at restaurants in town, or?
I didn't pull those. I didn't look at Blazing Onion, but I certainly do that.
I'm just wondering, yeah.
I would suspect they're around the 32.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're, and of course they're standalone. So in the BP zone district, you couldn't even have a standalone of 3,000. It has to be 15%.
More
than 15% and no more than 3,000 either. So if you had a really giant building, you're still stuck with the 3,000. So did that answer your question, Chair Eisenhower?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. So there's land there that can be developed. We could do reasonable uses, you know, 10,000 square. There's probably room on those properties if you wanted to have a standalone restaurant of, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 square feet and the parking for it. I don't know if that's necessarily the reason you would say yes or no. It's more of a conceptual thought here, and then we can get into the analysis of a site-by-site and see how much room there would be.
Can I ask, we also have the undeveloped parcel that I know has come before Planning Commission a number of times that's up by the ballpark.
Yeah, the Cook property?
Yeah.
The city-owned parcel?
We own three up there.
But then to the right at the corner, though, we don't own that one piece. I don't.
Kelly Trust.
Yeah, that's it.
That one has actually been under contract for...
For what?
A private swim training facility.
Ah, okay.
And they're in the process. Sherry's been working with them of submitting binding site plan.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we've been working with them for about 6 months probably. It's been a long...
A little longer.
A little long process, and it's got its challenges as well.
So that was a challenge property.
It's got some slope there off of North Creek Drive. And there's a wetland plop right in the middle of it, so...
Which one is that? Like, in relation to the park?
Right across from Heatherwood.
Let me get to a better picture. So it'd be right, if there's Dumas Road,
oh,
right,
okay.
Here, right
so
there. That
like
red
past
right there.
The overflow parking for the sports park, that one there, okay.
Right on the corner there, the slope.
Not the one that's got that old house on it across the street?
No. That's ours, too. That's
yeah, okay. It's the one on the other side of the North Creek. Okay.
When Heatherwood developed, they put a road down the middle, and they had one remnant lot, and that was on the east side. Huh.
That's going to be a pool?
That's what I said.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
They currently have a facility down in Waffle, so they're looking at
it. It's right outside my bedroom window. I'm not sure that I want that.
It's mostly for kids.
It's indoor, Stan. I don't think you have to worry about...
And you're lucky, Stan.
Yeah, exactly. I think you would be encourage that sort of thing, but that's me.
No,
now,
just,
what about,
thank you.
So, so indoor swimming
training
facility. So
private, not public.
Not public. So to compete with, I guess, West Coast Aquatics. But the other, well, that's interesting because I know that the district, school district, is moving all, well, at least when the Everett Y completes their pool, I know the school district will be, there's a place now where it'll be better to host meets versus West Coast. And it's just, wow, all of a sudden we're going to be swimming in pools.
I don't know if it's going to be Olympic size, though. It's not going to be for competition. I think it's more of a...
Well, but if you're training, you're going to be at least 25 meters. I mean, or else it's not even worth it.
We haven't seen the official...
It'd be good. They'll learn their turns really good.
Yeah, it'd be dizzy. Oh, God. Well, at West Coast, I mean, yeah, that... I mean, it's a great place for the kids to swim. It's a terrible place to go watch a meet. Oh, interesting.
So it opens up other opportunities.
I was just asking in light of, you know, one, it's available property, and then just to get a sense of what has been hitting recently in development. So we've had more self-storage, you know, the learning experience, some amount of medical, it seems like. Now another pool beyond our indoor soccer, you know, which was really successful. I'm trying to think outside the box. What?
Private dog.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that?
It will be just north of Lake Schwab Tire Center.
Oh.
And they have, they're in for permits.
Oh, really?
Now, one thing just to sort of what's going on, several years ago, David Lee had a second phase or a mini storage that's been approved and it's on the books. It's south of the brick building. It would share the entrance on 527 going south. You got the clock tower storage, then there's the Providence Brick Medical. And then right next door is a lot that's been approved for a mini storage. And it's been there for a while. And he's been holding off, I think probably because he thought that Cubes was coming in. But we've heard that Cubes may not be coming in, even though they have an approval. So it seems that there's a saturation of the mini storage because they just built another one down on 180th.
Isn't there a time limit? Do they have to exercise a permit?
Before? 8 years.
8 years.
It's 7 years with 1 year extension.
Oh, so can you flashed a slide up there with some language back. There was one towards the beginning about. Oh, well, there's no more back than that. So it must have been somewhere there was.
What are you looking for? I'll find it.
Well, so about the mini storage or the self-storage or the, you know, just.
With the allowed uses? The allowed uses?
Well, no, it was more of that there was language about appropriate.
What's, okay.
Use. Could you rely on that to say we've got enough self-storage? Because
I think that,
I mean, because at some point, isn't there enough self-storage?
Well, self-storage, there's a need for self-storage. I think that we've hit our glut as far as the market. I think that we're hearing that there's no more excitement to build them. They are kind of a holding use. I think I was talking to our chair. They're not that expensive to build. And then when the market gets better for something more profitable,
you dump it.
They're easy to move out, and it doesn't take too long to depreciate their value. But then again, they are good cash cows, too. You make a lot of money off them, and there's not a whole lot of, upkeep and keeping people employed. So it's a low staffing kind of a thing.
Low meaning,
but they don't
no?
generate a whole lot of sales tax either, and they don't provide a lot of high-wage jobs. But it is a nice convenience for the residents that live in the city that have too much stuff. So I think it has its place. And I think that you are right. You know, one of the things that we talked about early on, probably several months ago with the interim city manager, was, you know, maybe even think about saying you can't have mini storages anymore. But there's a real problem with that, too, in that is you make all the ones that we have all nonconforming, which is somewhat problematic in itself.
There was a slide. It was one.
This one talks about. Let's see. There was nothing here that really dealt with mini storage.
No. But it was. I should have made a note, but. No, because there was one that had the word appropriate.
Be up here under the business park.
Yeah, no, I think.
Comprehensive plan?
Yes, right here. The underlying rationale is to provide an appropriate supply of land for a variety of light industrial and office that may depend upon blah, 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 blah. Right. So could you rely on appropriate supply to say we've got enough supply of self-storage to deny someone who's wanted to put up more self-storage? No. Okay.
No, what this is telling staff to do is when we came up with our plan and then afterward using this guidance prepared our zoning map, this is telling us to make enough of the land gray.
Gotcha. Okay.
It can handle that. So what you're trying to do overall is to have a jobs and housing balance. You don't want to be all bedroom. Most cities don't want to. You want to have You want nice restaurants. You want places to shop. You want things where people can go play and have lots of parks. And you want jobs, too, so that you don't have to go drive all the way to Seattle. So that's the intent. So that tells us to make enough gray area on the map, is what that's telling us.
Gotcha. Okay.
The rest of it, the market kind of takes care. If it meets the zoning code, if it says it's a permitted use, we can't, unless we change the zoning code and say you can't have them anymore, but that makes all the ones that are there non-conforming and creates issues about refinancing their projects and financing and refinancing and other things that make it difficult for them.
Thank you.
Can we get back to the question?
Yeah, didn't mean to make this anti-storage, but when we're asking about pro-restaurant, but...
So I guess one question I have is, in terms of, is the question really just to extend or allow that one restaurant, just to rethink the entire zoning of the DP zone, kind of extending the community business into the DP zoning, is that an option?
Well, that's kind of the crux of the thing, is that do we redefine what BP is so we can still allow and not mandate community business in there?
Because that would sort of go
against the strip commercial, because the things that are left, especially down the highway, would become strip commercial. So do we just allow some sort of an exception to allow restaurants of a certain size, maybe up to 6,000, or you get allowed just restaurants standalone, just get rid of the 15% and the 30%? But would that be consistent with the rationale and the purpose statement is to not have retail and services? So I think that if we want to have more intense uses, especially the restaurant, that we'd probably have to do an amendment to the comprehensive plan to change the language so what we do, if we change the zoning, wouldn't be contrary to what the policy is. And we'd have to change the zoning, the permitted uses in there. I think changing all that zoning in the middle of that other stuff that's already developed as business park and mini storage, just changing that to commercial would be strip commercial. It'd be hard. I don't know if we want to open it up to all commercial. I think this is kind of trying to narrow discussion more on the restaurant end of things.
Is there a separation between the land that fronts Bothell Everett Highway versus that on 9th Avenue, or is it all part of the same?
It's all part of the same, but there's a physical barrier, which is Nickel Creek and the wetlands.
Okay. Well, and I think from just a practical barrier, if I'm a restaurateur, I'm not looking to open on 9th Avenue. That's just who would even know there. So I wouldn't want to jump through too many hoops to change language that in practicality would never come into effect because it's the worst place to put a restaurant. But
right, and again, this would apply citywide. It could potentially apply if somebody like the Edgewater building bought it and wanted to knock it down and do something different. It would apply citywide. We sort of focus you there because that's the most likely in the short term. Yeah. But it would apply citywide.
I would ask, so how would we, so that we don't get some unintended consequence, would we literally use... what would a restaurant be considered? It's the 15% rule that we have in there now. What else would it allow, or what language? We wouldn't say restaurant, I assume, as we update or we did an amendment. Or would we use the word restaurant?
Well, right now in the community business, it's listed as restaurants and taverns.
Okay.
So we would use the word restaurant, and it's a common... I don't know if we actually have a definition or a code for what a restaurant is, but I think there's a common understanding of sitting down and eating in the place where they cook the food in the kitchen and all the code or all the improvements that are required to do that. And then you would park it on that too.
It would include fast food though too.
Yeah, it would include fast food.
It could be Mod Pizza, it could be McDonald's.
Five Guys maybe.
We do have some differences in our code for restaurants. Some zones allow drive through and
okay.
Others don't.
Okay. So there'd be some
Yeah, Town Center has a special, and East Gateway do not, but the general business, well, not business park, but the general CB zone district allows, that's where all our fast food is. Starbucks with drive-thrus are there, too.
So drive-thru would be allowed?
at this point or not?
Well, I guess we could talk about that. Okay. But in general, the only places that don't allow them are the ones that sort of been designed as a village with the central street, and we want people to do a lot of walking. I don't know if the properties down there would be conducive to that.
We need another Starbucks.
So just to be clear, if we make a change to the BP zoning, that's going to affect all the BP zoning across the city. So just to be mindful, like you said, somebody can knock something existing down and implement the new zoning. Okay.
And then, of course, that assumes that this all stays BP. We're looking at this area here. We may come up with some other zones. I mean, we just started it. I think you all got an invitation, so you're somewhat aware of what the idea is, that when these properties eventually redevelop, what do we want it to be? So that project's going on now, and there may, depending on what comes out of that, but we'll know something about what the scenarios are in January or so. So aside from those particular properties and the characteristics, from a philosophical standpoint, what do you guys think about decentralizing some of the more intense uses? Because that's kind of what popped into my head is, do we want to spread things out? Do you want to centralize things? Is that something you think should go there? I mean, it's a really busy highway. If they could only come in and off the highway, WashDOT could put a C-curb down the middle. You know, it'd be right in, right out potentially. I mean, there's a lot of kind of
issues.
Well, potentially. They're not insurmountable. I mean, if that's what you really want. There are a lot of businesses that do well on busy highways.
Yeah. Well,
we have the bus line now.
Yeah, we've got Swift going up and down the road.
Well, I think one of the things that came out of just the first meeting of the advisory committee, but one of the things that was noted was, thriving business is one of the overall goals, and I think nobody in the city wants to have a business that suffers or struggles, right? But and there is something in, I forget what the phenomena is, but there's a reason why car dealerships all tend to be next to other car dealerships, and mattress companies tend to be next to other mattress companies, is that when you're going to compare or to shop or to go and visit something, that you'd like to have choices. And so a standalone restaurant out in the middle of nowhere, but relatively speaking, I look at like the kind of business Azul's does in Town Center versus the kind of business that Lombardi's does down on Bothell Everett Highway. So while I'm all for more places to go eat and drink and gather and have fun, I want to make it a place that has a chance to succeed and thrive. And so if it were a place where maybe we might attract multiple restaurants, that actually does better for everyone. To have a competitor next to you actually does help for the most part in certain types of business. So, I'm all for adjusting and allowing for more of that, but just in a way that hopefully allows whoever decides to do it to make it attractive and to allow for, some success.
I mean, I remember talking or hearing from the Italian restaurant before Brooklyn Pizza went in about, hey, wait a second, I don't have the visibility, I can't make my business succeed. And if we look at decentralized, if you use that term, I mean, I want our city to succeed with the restaurants it's put in now and make them successful before I'd want to see us expand to, a different portion of the city. How do we expand what we have now, and how do we make sure that they remain successful before we look to add the zoning somewhere else that may kill the goose that we've already got right now? I mean, the city has done well with both this athletic, and so I thank you for your hard work on both the indoor soccer, now sounds like pool, with the development of our own park, and with this core of restaurants. It's what we're becoming known for, as you go and recreate, and then you go in and eating. If we can't keep that feel because this one's decentralized, I don't know that it benefits us as a whole. That'd be an interesting thing to get you as professional planners input on.
Restaurants tend to gather and other restaurants around them, and people come down you know, to trying to decide as they walk down the sidewalk whether they want Mexican or pizza or the lodge or.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that kind of a concentration. And my concern is that whatever happens on those properties, it ought to be done in a way that relates to the downtown so that it doesn't, it's not a piecemeal, something happening off to be forgotten.
Well, I think just the physical characteristics of the properties that are the most developable along the highway will not really allow a, it's going to be reasonable use, so you're going to fit in one thing, and it's going to be just, it's going to be a battle to sort of figure out what's reasonable. And then you have a driveway out to the highway, and then you'll have another driveway to the highway. It's just, it's going to be strict industrial, even if it comes out industrial.
Yeah.
And the more, it's probably not a great place to try to increase the amount of traffic that's coming in and out of the road as well.
Yeah. Is it big enough for a hotel? Like a small, like a boutique-y hotel with like a restaurant underneath or like a restaurant attached?
To some extent, it seems like this is premature in light of the work we're looking in, and we as city are doing on redevelopment along Mill Creek Boulevard, and with that, in planning terms, relatively short time frame of 6 to 9 months, having some more certainty on what the vision of the community is there, do you subvert that very important piece of planning going on now by making some of these other changes?
I would concur with that. I think staff's kind of really focused on one project, and it's sort of a priority, obviously, of the city and the city council. We've got funding, got a significant project going on. Not that we couldn't do some work on the side here, but trying to do two things at once and without really taking into account the other, I don't know if that might complicate things.
That would. I mean, as I look at this, and I'm open to lots of ideas and more input, but it would seem like waiting until we have more certainty there and where that's going to be would help us look at what do we want on 9th Avenue as a city, or what would be beneficial to this ultimate plan when we know 9th Avenue and, honestly, on Buffalo River Highway up there.
Is it a reasonable suggestion from your standpoint?
What's that?
Is it a reasonable suggestion from your standpoint to suggest that we might be looking at some precise planning, some examination of details as to what can go there and how they would work in terms of access and everything else? I know you guys have got your plate full, but
On the remaining sites that are left?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wasn't suggesting that at this point. We've got a couple of proposals that we see as they come in. We kind of have a general idea of what's kind of fitting and how the access comes in and out. I think that if I was to make a suggestion, I think that what Commissioner Nolan mentioned is that it might be best to wait and see for a relatively short period. We're going to kind of have some idea what those scenarios are by the first of the year, which is not that far off, and see kind of what comes up and maybe take another discussion at that point, or it may come up as part of the other project too. One of the things we've also talked about is that the Orange Line is being planned by Community Transit, which will connect Edmonds Community College to the Linwood Station, 164th, and right into our, right here, intersecting with the Green Line at the intersection. So with that transit coming in, I think that's also sort of begs the question of what happens on 9th Avenue. So I think once we're done with the Mill Creek Boulevard plan, sort of what goes on south of there is sort of the next logical question to ask.
Agree with that.
Regardless of what the property owners ask for as far as restaurants, well, I think that's kind of the next place to look.
It becomes that, I mean, I think that this new Mill Creek plan will address North Creek Trail, and I had a coworker who's lived in this area for 20 years come to me and say, why didn't you ever tell me about this North Creek Trail? This is amazing. but the questions that came up were, and what are you going to do along 9th Avenue, and what are you doing along the section that is under the planning now? And so, it is an amazing asset for us as a city to take care of, and I would see we get through Mill Creek Boulevard and the redevelopment options there, and then if we look more at 9th, and then at some point up onto, you know, Bothell Everett. But
it has a whole unique
set. They have to fit together in building pieces, and taking on those two separately would I would have fear that we wouldn't get as combined and as homogeneous a part as we want. I mean, right now we're looking at Mill Creek Boulevard and trying to decide how do we tie this being the north end of it into the south end of you know, the great work that was done on our businesses and areas to the north of here and the restaurant area and everything else.
And just so you know, one reason why we're bringing this forward to you at this time is because we have a comprehensive plan amendment deadline in September, and based on the fact we've had such multiple repeated requests for this from the property owners, and it would trigger a comp plan change, we felt we should at least put feelers out and bring it to the Planning Commission. That way we could get feedback. So it's good to hear confirmation. Wait until the results of the Mill Creek Boulevard corridor study prior to looking at this area.
Well, the only thing to that I would add, and I mean, I agree with you, Matt, that it's important to focus on, you know, the one thing that is in front of us. But from that first meeting, though, it was evident that what we're talking about in that plan is, in some cases, could be decades down the road, whereas what's happening, you know, south of 164th could be as quickly as next year. And so I don't want to lose sight of the fact that, you know, because it was mentioned a couple times at that meeting, well, there aren't any bulldozers heading that way anytime soon, and we've got long-term leases, and while, yes, we want to set the tone, some of those changes may not take effect for many, many years while we've got people wanting to know. So, listen, I'm firmly in favor of let's focus on, you know, first things first, but there's a situation here where the first thing may be this thing and not the Mill Creek Boulevard thing.
Study that we could apply.
Oh, no question.
And I was thinking about office space, I think we were talking to people at the meeting. I think there's a lack of office space too. And how can we plug that in? There's definitely a lack of offices down there. So.
There's a lot of, I'm sorry?
There's a lack of offices as well in the Mill Creek Boulevard area. I mean, one of the building over there, and everybody in our office building is maxed out. Nobody wants to move because there's no other way to go. And that's the situation in our office building, is that everybody's maxed out, everybody's growing in terms of business on Mill Creek. And then we are kind of like all maxed out in terms of like office space. And so I think there is also something to be discussed about as the obviously, the study on the Mill Creek Boulevard area is the lack of office space, and maybe, and that's something that they apply to south of 164.
As far as a little micro sort of a picture, we have had over the last month or so some inquiries on some of these properties that we're talking about, and they're talking about, was it a medical office thing, which would be consistent with the current code. So I suppose that if in the short term they go along with what the current vision is, and hopefully it's not mini storage, but that's not necessarily a bad thing either, because I think that the original vision, I think, is a sound one, is to have jobs that pay more than just service jobs. And if you can have doctors and nurses and patients come and then go to lunch and do their shopping on their way home, and I think that's all a good thing too. And there's not that much of that left either. We say that it looks like a big blob on the map, but a lot of it's green if you look at,
yes,
at the wetlands. So it's not that much developable. It's a big area on the zoning map because it's all gray, but it's not that huge as far as what's really available.
So I'm going to jump in. Christy sort of answered my question. How many inquiries are you getting about a restaurant? It sounds like there's several, not just one onesie twosies. And from my perspective, that area of 160, south of 164th on Bothell Everett Highway, I would be in favor of pursuing allowing a standalone restaurant facility or several to be built there. And I'm sort of the opinion, why wait? on this. I understand the connection and the intensity of, you know, obviously the just kicked off sub-area plan, but if there's an opportunity that's presenting itself to the city, I'd be all for it, especially if it overrode the storage facility, because I do know that that was approved there, but then the cube thing came in. So, yeah, I'd hate to see a storage facility on there. But if there's if we do kick off one restaurant, maybe another one will come in. And
well, and to Dennis's point, if we don't jump on it, the decision might be made for us, because if somebody comes in under the existing use that kind of and says, hey, we've got the permits, it's under the existing use, it meets all the criteria, then the decision's kind of been made for us. If we do think we want to go in that direction, we might want to do it sooner rather than later. Is that kind of correct? Okay. So that is a possibility.
I think that's correct. I think that we already have two mini storage facilities that are already approved. So they could be built tomorrow. What we've heard is one's probably going to go forward and one's probably not, just because of the market realities. But you're right. If anything that's proposed now that meets the code,
yep, then it goes forward.
Then it goes forward.
Okay.
But anything we do now would not erase anything that's been already approved. It's mm-hmm. all vested.
But if we decided on a restaurant or said, hey, that might be something we want to do, this might be the opportunity to make those changes before we're in a situation where the gate's already open and something else is coming through it that we don't necessarily want. So, okay.
Can I ask about the timing on that, though? So if we were to go forward, we're talking about a comp plan amendment, which we have to make a proposal by September. That would take two or three planning commission meetings to do, then go forward to council. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what the timeline would be if we said, okay, we're going to, you know, change our zoning through the comp plan, which means it affects everywhere in the city, and doing that study of that. What's that timing look like in comparison to the Mill Creek Boulevard study work?
I didn't bring my code in. There's a process in our code now that talks about what the process is. Staff gets a little bit more leeway if it's city directed. I mean, if you're a property owner, you have certain really hard deadlines as far as when to get stuff in. The city gets a little more leeway as far as doing it. But generally, we've approved them in the summer, so it'd be too late for this summer. And it might actually end up at the end getting wrapped in with the other one, because we're going to be doing probably a comprehensive plan and a zone change with the sub-area plan.
Are you thinking next year? Or
later? No, I'd have to look and see. We don't have anything on in the works right now for a comprehensive plan amendment.
Just people asking, nothing formal, because it's not permitted in the zone.
I think we have two property owners that have one property is David Lee, who has the one that's already approved for the business storage, and he's kind of asked that for years. He's kind of complained about that. And then we had one that was doing, the property owner has property for sale, and he's more of doing a spec kind of thing and seeing what could he put there and thinking of maximum uses. So he doesn't really have a tenant in mind. It's more of a property owner that's selling it, trying to see how much he can maximize what he can sell his property for and who he should be marketing to. So we don't really have any firm proposals. We have one long-term owner that's asked for a long time, and we have one that's recently marketing his property.
That'd be accurate, because anyone in the past who's called for it, who's even interested in the property, they go away and they look elsewhere because restaurant uses aren't allowed. So, hey, is a restaurant allowed in the BP zone? No, it's not. All right, I was looking at this site. Okay, thank you. Bye. They move on. Have we had multiple repeated requests? Yes, but it's currently not allowed. Whether actually someone comes in and secures the site for the restaurant use based on market demand instead of one of the other permitted uses, you just got to wait and see what happens with the market.
Now, we have suggested to property owners that the comprehensive plan amendment process is available to them if they choose to submit an application. And over the years, none of them have chosen to do so. So that's another kind of a little side note.
Interesting. And the national economy is slowing down, too. So some of the pressure is coming off.
Is it?
Well, I don't have a real firm direction. Or are you guys?
Don't have many vacancies at this point.
No. So yeah, there's definitely a need for more. Well, there's room for more office. I mean, if somebody were to build office, the market is changing. It used to be a lot of vacancies. I think there's a lot less vacancy lately. A lot tighter, so there may be market to drive office use in those areas. I've heard a couple people saying they might want to think about moving quicker. I've heard some. Is there a consensus on the commission? Do you want us to think about it some more?
I like the concept of moving forward, especially if the one property owner is looking to expand the opportunity to sell the property. So, I agree.
I'd be for planning commission or planning staff moving forward.
I see two nods.
Yes, I agree, and I think the point made about missed opportunity is one too that we should take into consideration, that why not make it available and see then what comes of it. I mean, even if it were something, well, you had mentioned Five Guys, which there's one not far away, but there's something like, or there's not a Sonic anywhere around, which to me, I mean, I love Sonic. If there was one here, that's one where it's not exactly a destination restaurant, but it is novel, and it is, there isn't one anywhere nearby, while it's a drive-through and other things, but on the freeway, or I mean on Bothell Everett, I think that would be really cool. And
I was thinking about, thank God it's Fridays, TGIF.
It's like a Burgermaster, they probably do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially with, if the swimming pool goes in and the what goes on at Arena Sports, and I mean, from a dad who had, you know, two kids in travel teams, where you're going and going to tournaments and going to things, and where is the familiar? Where is the Sonic? We all love Sonic. Let's, or where's the Taco Bell? Or where, you know, which, so even not the, as much as I'd love a white tablecloth place, for those of you who've been here long enough and remember Zinnia. Remember Zinnia?
Yeah, wow.
In Town Center, right? The, like, fine dining in Snohomish County. Right? I would love one of those places, too, but there's, there's...
Not about Zinnia.
Oh, many fine dinners at Zinnia. So I'm all in favor of doing anything that would enhance and bring about more.
I think part of it options. Goes to our economic development, being business-friendly. I often think about everything that went on with first the Walmart and then the Target and continual zoning changes, where we tried to do a lot of different things. It's, you know, the county had it and then it got annexed and all that opportunity that was lost, and now we're left with what it is. It is what it is now. So, but is there an opportunity maybe to expand it, give the public an opportunity to comment to see if they want to add that use to that piece of land? Obviously, that would be part of the process. And not miss the opportunity on this piece of land.
Well, I've got a proposal. What if we take a look at the vacant parcels that are left, kind of sketch out kind of what might be developable on them, just so you can sort of see what the lay of the land is?
So I had mine.
And then give us a month or two to bring that back to you and continue our conversation.
And also, what else would be affected?
Right.
What else would be affected? If you could add that to the list?
Well, the rest would be, well.
No, I mean, because, like, if we change it, that would actually change it for all the business parks. So just kind of an idea of, okay, these are also the areas that would be potentially impacted if somebody bulldozed.
The potential unintended consequences.
Thank you, yeah. Just so we have it all, like, okay. Apples to apples.
And then process. Would you like to see process back? Yeah. Timing, yeah, for process?
Yeah, get into the nuts and bolts, and then we can see if we need to move.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the September deadline?
Well, if you're a property owner and you want to submit something on your own, like if you own property and you want to submit a change, there's a process. We're only allowed to change the code or the comp plan once a year. So there's a process of a deadline, and when you have to submit it to be heard that year. And so it's an annual window of about 3 months. You can submit an application.
May I ask, Mr. Lee?
The city staff has an exemption, though, that if we're working on a city project, that we can, we're not tied quite to that.
Because with our traditional, like, no meeting in August, this is the June meeting, which means we have one more meeting before September.
Correct.
So, unless better get on it.
Unless you hold a special meeting in August.
No, we're not meeting. No. So, yeah, so we'll see what we can put together. We'll put Christy to work.
I know you're looking at me.
And then we'll bring that back and give you a little more specifics about what it could mean. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Great.
Thank you, staff.
All right.
Now, good of the order, anything?
Well, the only thing I was going to mention, other than maybe next month we'll have a discussion about restaurants and business park, is that we had our kickoff meeting for our Mill Creek Boulevard sub-area plan, and three of the people on sitting up there were there. Maybe they could say some words about it. I was just staff, but certainly the committee members might have share some of their thoughts about it and how it went and where it's going. Or, I don't know.
I was impressed. It's exciting that we got a grant from the state in order to fund this effort. It's worthwhile for the city to look at, you know, redevelopment in light of the fact that we have a lot of restrictions on those properties now. What's our best use? I was excited to see the business owners are there at the table along with, you know, people from other boards, city council members. I think it'll be a great opportunity for us as a portion of the Planning Commission to work more closely with the city council members, because that's been one of the things over the years we've talked about is having joint meetings and stuff, and I'd say in my 10 years we've done that maybe once or twice. So it gives us an opportunity for them to see some of the work that, you know, the Planning Commission members think about, and I've been pushing for this for years, so I'm excited to see what we can come up with in that area. And I do think I did see some body language from the business owners that they were very concerned, and I think a successful
really?
Plan will Gee. Be if we can have something that works both for the community and for the businesses and looks out, like Councilmember Mills said, into that 20-year horizon, but hilarious. Gives people opportunity in the short run.
It does.
I'll jump in there. I work in that industry, so it was exciting for me to be on the customer side, if you will, of that. And I think they were very well organized. It was a great kickoff. It was very efficient, but they also gleaned a lot of information out of us. And what I liked about it is they didn't preload us before the meeting, so it was a very raw kind of thoughts that we all had. But everyone had a tremendous amount of them. That board was full. The sticky notes were full. And so I'm sure they picked up a lot of good information. I don't think they steered us too much either. So they, you know, they probably got some sort of stock general answers, but I think they also, you know, as they read them back to some of the select ones, there was very specific to Mill Creek, and that's very exciting. So it's fascinating to watch us get involved in that. And that I like the idea of the, if you had to leave for 20 years and come back, what would you want it to look like? So you just close your eyes and then just re-envision that. And I think that was a great question. That was the last question they asked us. And so I think that really set a benchmark for the work to then get into those kind of details and develop something that the public then can invest themselves in the future and give us a roadmap for that area. So
what was this?
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add to that is that you guys did a great job. I think OTAC really, to further Dennis's point, they seem to be the right firm. I mean, they obviously have been around the block a few times in this, and so that was evident. It was very interesting to, as Commissioner Nolan said, just observe the body language of the various constituencies at the table. And for me personally, it was interesting to enlightening to know that there's just all of the factors involved, whether, you know, for the land owners, the long-term leases, and some of the factors that will come into play, how quickly things may or may not happen. I mean, I still hold in the back of my head, like, you know, the kingdom didn't last that long, so there's still hope for some maybe
more swift change than what some, because there were definitely some pumping of the brakes, I would say, at that meeting. But because there, but there are certainly, I think, areas in which almost everybody could agree. I'm hoping, as far as priority or things that can come from that, and which changes we'd like to see first or second or third. But it's really exciting and a really nice mix of people.
Well, to add on to what you just said, I think that some of those properties are probably more ripe than others. So that'll sort of flush itself out. I think that the reason that staff and OTEC really wanted to sort of pump the brakes a little bit is that the message that goes out is really important.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Because an article in the paper, like I mentioned at the meeting, I go to the dry cleaner in Maple Leaf Square.
Yeah.
And I went there, and I picked up my shirts, and he pulled out the flyer that was inviting people. He says, "Are you, what, you know?" He's all worried about being thrown out of his business already. And I said, no. So it's really important that we talk about, you know, the owners are going to have to want to do it. It's going to have to be in their interest to do it. The city's not a developer. We're just listening. We're looking at what the possibilities are, and then we're going to come to consensus. And I just didn't want people to get there and go back and start talking about changing everything and then get the wrong, because it's really hard to take it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Once the momentum goes, it starts to steer it sideways. And so it's just really wanted to emphasize. We must have said it 3 or 4 times during the meeting, and then we've got some of the best players on that committee, like Mr. Panos is a very big property owner, and we have a really good relationship, the city does, with him, you know, and it's taken years to develop, and he trusts us, you know. So I think that it's a big compliment, I think, to the city that he's sitting there giving up his, he's driving from Bellevue, in all the traffic, he's going to drive up here 7 times, and he's got a self-interest in mind, but he's also part of the city, and he's glad to be on the committee, and it was a genuine interest. So, and having the council there, the only other thing I might say is that the commission as a whole will get a chance to see the plans as they go through before they go to the visioning workshops. There's 3 times that it's going to come through you, and that's again to sort of truth the plan, so that what's up there, it sort of meets what the Planning Commission and City Council are realistic kind of expectations for the community, so that you're aware of what's going up before it goes up there and it's a shock or a surprise to anybody. So throughout this process, between now and January, I think January is the second meeting, will be one in September. It's going to come through this board with OTEC here to make the presentation, and then again at the end. So we'll be involved and get a chance to sort of see things before on the early end of it. But the committee is going to be working on that, you know, about every.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and add that the pumping of the brakes, because some of us might remember what happened. Suddenly there was this proposal to knock down Maple Leaf Square and build this new city hall like another sort of city did south of us. And that was, I think, tragic.
That wasn't a proposal. That was a vision.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But
but something gets lost in the translation.
Here in the Milky View. The pumping of the brakes.
That was in my mind.
Yes, why I understand why.
Some discussions and some brainstorming turned into a big.
So when you brought that up, I instantly went to that.
Which reminds me.
Yes.
Situation.
That's where I was, too.
Yeah.
Have we ever set up a time and place for the commission to review the public meeting rules? Public meeting rules.
Oh, as far as like in the short courses?
Yeah. See,
there's one coming up in September. Are you? I'm not sure I'm understanding your question.
For new members or just in general?
I think Sherry's going to ask about the training.
Already done that.
No, almost everybody has taken the training. We're good to go.
Okay, we're good to go in the training.
That was my question. I didn't know that.
Okay.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Good
job. For those of you that want to take it again, but in a live version, Mukilteo City Hall on September the 17th is hosting a short course. We're going to invite the City Council to go. They're going to be looking at some regional plans that are going to be coming forward through Puget Sound Regional Council, the Vision 2050 plan, as well as when the county starts working on its comprehensive plan update, which is due in 2023. But we're trying to get the council members some sort of a basis of what the structure is as far as the regional plans and how the city's plans fit into that, and how best to be effective in communicating our wishes, our comments, in a way that maybe has some results. So we're going to try to start off with the short course. I think that's a good thing to sort of the basis of planning law in Washington and how these various plans fit together. So we're going to invite the council to go to that meeting. And I offered, I called, there's lots of room. They can seat like 40 people. So if anybody wants to go along, let me know.
I think Commissioner and Chair Eisner will be looking forward to his 100th yes. short course. It's got to be getting close. So
next year I'm going
to
teach it.
I mean, you may be teaching it. I'm not sure. So that's all I had for anybody else.
Okay. So, does anybody on the commission have anything to add for the good of the order? Ready to go home?
Second that.
We're out of here. Thank you all.
Thank you.